This meeting is now being recorded.
All right, so we're back on the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee February 9th meeting. It's a little cumbersome, but we're going to take roll call again just so we can keep track of who's where we are as far as coming back from lunch, and then we'll move to the next BCP concept of court-appointed dependency counsel.
Okay, I'll start with Judge Conklin.
Present.
Judge Barton.
I'm back.
Thank you. Judge Blum.
Here.
Judge Cope.
Here.
Judge Earl.
Here.
Judge Herman.
Here.
Judge Heinrich.
Here.
Judge Johnson. Judge Kaufman.
Here.
Judge Cole. Judge Maragonda.
Here.
Judge McCabe.
Present.
Judge Sanders. Ms. Carter.
Here.
Mr. Chatter.
Here.
Ms. Fleming.
Here.
Mr. Hamrick.
Here.
Mr. Harrigan.
Here.
Mr. Lewis. Mr.
Planet.
Here.
Roddy.
Okay, Mr. Roddy again.
Mr. Roddy is on the JLS call right now. He'll return to this as soon as that one ends.
Thank you. Ms. Romero-Souls?
Here.
Mr. Taylor? Couldn't tell that. Mr. Taylor? Ms. Ugrin Capobianco?
Here.
And Mr. Yamasaki?
David?
Mr. Yamasaki? I wanted to see if that was him joining. Advisory members, Ms. Patel, Ms. Tidwell, Mr. Wardlaw,
present.
Mr. Theodorovich.
Present.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all so much for keeping your lunch short and coming back. As a return for that, we'll do our best to keep this discussion while recognizing anybody who wants to be heard equally efficient. Just so you know where I'm intending to go with this, close to 1:30, start to wrap this up, take a vote as to actual action items, and then do our best to have everybody wheels up by 2 o'clock at the latest. So we had concluded before breaking for lunch with a discussion of the BCP concept, loosely stated, of the civil assessment, MOE backfill, backfill. Just now working down the list. The next would be, as a BCP concept that received votes, would be the court-appointed dependency council. And so anybody, any committee member who wants to be heard on this as far as a BCP concept?
Judge Conklin, this is Rebecca.
Go ahead.
And I don't want to further complicate any of these, but as we were breaking for lunch, it occurred to me that the civil assessment, you know, we were talking about whether it's a BCP concept or not, and given the input that we've gotten from the Judicial Council staff and the administration is, you know, on the number of things we put forward, I would offer up that perhaps it's a technical adjustment to the budget, because it's really not a backfill if we're just transferring the funds from, you know, the civil assessments to the state and the state is transferring, you know, money to us. I would offer that maybe we explore the concept of it being a technical adjustment rather than a BCP.
Yeah, Rebecca, this is Lyle. I'll say there's not many $150 million technical adjustments in the budget. But with that said, the issue is that there's also an element of risk transfer that, to the extent now these revenues have declined, those have impacted our ability to provide services through our base budget impacts. Department of Finance will clearly see that, and so to take the money from our bucket and give it to their bucket and then give us back an equal amount of general fund, they would definitely see that as a budget change, not just a mere technical budgeting issue because of the inherent volatility of that revenue.
Rebecca, I don't want to rephrase what you said, because I think that's a very appropriate concept, and I think that's perhaps the approach we take, because these are BCP concepts, stated loosely, that we would refer back to staff for further refinement. But you're right, and I don't want to say anything that's interpreted inappropriately, but there's also a marketing aspect to this. There's an aspect of...
No, I totally agree that. I understand that.
I think that's your
and
presentation.
And I think the volume of the fund, yeah.
This really... So while it is a BCP, and I think we need to say it is, it's also a concept of this is money that's there. It's just being presented and coming in a different way. So I think your concept is a very appropriate one.
And I do appreciate the volume, you know, the amount of money we're talking about, Zlatko, but the fact that it is technically a transfer back and forth, it's really not.
But let's say depending on the scenario. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that, you know, perhaps maybe we could weave that into the argument.
Oh, indeed. From one aspect, it is merely a swap. But again, if we use an average that is, if that's the approach we take, and it's higher than our current collections, and we say it's $150 million average 3 year, and yet our most recent year, even with amnesty, is 130 or 120, well, then they're going to accept the current value of 120, not sure if that will rise back to the level that we would be asking to be swapped. So it would end up on a net sort of basis have an impact on the general fund if our need as determined is greater than the current level of revenues, and how would we project future revenue levels so that it's neutral or beneficial to the general fund. That's been on our backs, that risk at this point.
What I would suggest is if we come up with this as a BCP concept, we refer back to staff for packaging.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we've talked about here is there's sort of several items on the table number one that appear to sort of form into a package that should be further discussed, be it workload and cost of doing our business, generally speaking, and how we can identify these as structural budget issues going forward for the sort of development and consideration by the branch budget committee.
So, Judge Conklin, this is Jake. So, on the dependency council, which I think is where you're trying to go, I would say I do think it needs to be among our higher priorities and be on the list as we get down to prioritizing it. I'm not sure about. I know in here it's saying 25%, and I guess one question I would have is, do we need to decide what that percent is at this time, given the new budget change proposal process, or is that something, again, that if we're saying dependency council is important, that gets worked out sort of as the strategy is developed over the next couple months? That's a question. And then the last comment on the civil assessments is that I think we do need to focus on it being a transfer, and I would really like to encourage us not making everyone else's argument for them.
Okay. So other comments on court-appointed dependency council concept as a BCP from TCBAC? How's that for a lot of initials? Mm-hmm. From TICBAC. Because I know there's a lot of interest in the past. There's FAMJU. We have a joint committee that's addressed this. And this has been received significant public comment. It is a very appropriate budget concern. Discussions?
This is Barton. I think the only thing I'd add is that at the meeting last week, a number of presiding judges were very interested in advocating for this item.
Okay.
Judge Conklin, if I could, I'd like to ask this of Mr. Wardlaw. Isn't this a BCP that would have some appeal to the legislature? We're helping dependent children who are needy, and yet I think Zlatko told us it's been put before them multiple times with no success.
So my response to that would be, yeah, I do think this is a very compelling item. Not knowing what the priorities were that we were competing against in the past, but absolutely, I think this gets traction. Whether or not at the end of the day it's a winner depends primarily on how much we're asking for. I think Zlatko had indicated that we'd received $11 million in the past. Clearly, the administration, the legislature, see this as a priority item. It's whether or not we, you know, stand the test against the other items, priorities.
Yeah, I mean, the legislature, again, they were the ones who have been the ones to put money in on this. Every year, it's stuck once. A couple of years ago at the $11 million level, and at the end of the budget process this last year when they did the math to try and get to the bottom line, it fell out as one of the last decisions. But that was in a year, this most recent budget, in which there was some money to spend. But again, so I think John's discussion is where on the priority list, and unfortunately, when even the legislature, who's been very supportive of this program from a funding perspective, couldn't find even some share of the $29 million to augment here. So that's an unfortunate issue. But it's priority. It's important. How does it compete against our own internal priorities, and where do they rank? But also then competing generally against all the other budget needs.
Judge Conklin, this is David, if I may.
You bet.
And I apologize if I missed part of the conversation. I joined a little bit a few minutes later. Does the amount that is identified here is far short of what this particular program needs for it to run appropriately? And I know that the number that here that we have is based on a strategy of an incremental annual increase. Would it be damaging for us to just to ask for more than what we've identified, or because clearly it's not going to be enough? I mean, three years of additional funding is going to cause a lot of challenge along the way. So I wonder if we can maybe, if there's a risk of asking for more within a shorter period of time.
That's always a budget. In the environment of the budget that was just released, increasing our request plus the value ultimately of whatever determined on the other items is going to make our requests in total fairly substantial. And there's a risk of asking for too much, and then you don't have credibility in the reality of the overall budget. And especially
can
when
I,
we're talking about... Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Sherry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The phone always cuts you off, and I don't mean to do that.
No, go ahead.
The lawyers, the dependency council lawyers who have also been lobbying for additional increases, I've been told by two of that group that they are going to be requesting $22 million. And the suggestion to me was that it would be nice if the branch and the lawyers were on the same page. And so I just am passing that along because I think there's some value in that. Is that what – and that's what the chief asked for last time, right, $22
million? Yep. Okay. 29 reflected backfilling of any of the courts that would have lost in the redistribution of the dependency council funding based on the new methodology.
I was unaware of that, and that's helpful knowledge or information, Sherry. Thank you.
And this is John Wardlaw again. I would encourage, make the ask for really however much you need. But in that ask, you need to very clearly articulate what the consequence is associated with not getting these funds. And that's, in my years of looking at proposals, that's where normally the argument falls short. Folks are very good at articulating what they do with the money and the positive aspects of what would be accomplished, but not so good about articulating if these funds don't come in, then we can expect to see these outcomes. But make the ask, the real ask, because if you pare it down, then the expectation is you're going to be able to deliver with insufficient funds, and then your credibility in the future is impaired.
And just some history for your benefit is that the need is over at least $80 million. The revised methodology that accounts for the proper caseloads, I think we're currently funded at $114 million. I think I've seen a number at $201 million, so it's pretty big. Now, what our approach has been, incremental benefit to move towards funding that, so the 22 is not representative of our total need, but rather a step and a marginal sort of improvement in the program, because you can't find that many attorneys that quickly to try and ramp up the project. So that was sort of the thought process of having a smaller ask of an identified larger need.
Sure.
Hoping that it would be a...
I'd encourage a realistic ask based on what you can accomplish in the time frames,
right,
that you know. But make the ask. Don't pare it down because you're afraid of finances or the legislature's reaction to what you really need to do the job properly.
So should we be asking for the $80 million then?
If that's the amount that is necessary to accomplish the goals that are realistic, yes. And with that $80 million ask, I'd strongly encourage a discussion about what the probable outcomes are if we don't get the funding.
This is Joyce Heinrichs. My concern, or not concern, is that, and this is just the budget committee, but I think that the proper place for dependency counsel really isn't on the backs of the court anyway to be. And the hard part, I think, is that I think we all can say that the dependency attorneys aren't being paid an amount that's fair or equal to DAs or county councils or other people that are appearing in the courts. The branch can't structure it that in any of the ways like that. And so part of the difficulty is that when the money gets all wrapped up in the other courts' operating expenses, we don't pay for any other attorneys, that really, if we're going to run it, I think we need to say, ask what we need and why, but even suggesting that there may be cost savings if it was administered by a different program, not because we're doing it wrong, but because there's not really any other way for us to do it, but by sort of 58 different courts doing 58 different things. And I just, you know, I think, like I said, we don't pay for any other attorneys that appear in our courts. It historically developed this way, and that having us, even though I think they deserve increases in their salaries have us have to advocate for that when our employees, our actual employees, are in need of increase in their salaries as well. It just becomes all muddled up. So, I mean, I think that we need to make the ask. I think it's important. The representation is necessary. The fact that if we don't get the money to the extent that it eats into our other operating budgets, potentially our court still contributes in ours, and the formulation is problematic because it isn't quick enough to, when there is a big rise and there's an actual increase in costs, there's no mechanism to address those effectively. That, I mean, I think it should be a BCP, but I just think that there should be additional discussions about whether it's the right place to be and whether there's a better place that it could be managed where children get represented by skilled advocates and that their salaries are negotiated more like DAs or AGs or someone else.
Wait. Go ahead.
Yeah, just kind of as Mike, Judge Heinrichs, Ventura has historically been one of the least funded or most underfunded. Dependency program, and I think in our cases, in most cases, this money has not gone for increases, but to expand the number of attorneys to reduce the caseload per attorney. So that's how it's spent, at least in our case, and I think that's our rationale. Is the idea is to expand be able to pay for more attorneys to handle the caseload.
Right. And if I were an attorney going into a practice, I wouldn't necessarily be jumping into dependency law with the way that it works out. You get, I mean, I started in dependency law, and we were paid the same as other folks in the criminal justice system, which has somewhat changed over time. But our court contributes from our general budget $65,000, which may not sound like a lot to big courts, but it's a significant amount and for us, and it grows if our numbers grow, which they're in a filing spree now. So we have to expand the number of attorneys to some extent, but the current methodology doesn't necessarily help us all of that much. Not that it's an individual kind of thing. It's a branch ask. But I just think that realistically, while we need to make the ask and why it's important, that I think recognizing that it could be managed more, maybe not more efficiently, but we don't pay for other attorneys. So, you know, we do it here sort of for historical reasons that may not be historically valid anymore. I just think that's something that the more that we can shift things that aren't really our responsibility to where they really are, we can save money overall for the branch.
And where would that shift go? Do you need any thoughts?
Well, you know, it's a question of whether they get managed through sort of health and human services budget that goes to counties based on their size and need, that then they get paid like the county councils that are there. I mean, there's a lot of grant money that goes to different people and doesn't that are helping manage and doing different things that doesn't go to the line attorneys. And I just think that it's, you know, managed through, even not managed by individual courts, managed through the appellate district. I don't know what the answer is, but I think the current system is not necessarily cost effective in a number of ways for a number of reasons. And so And, you know, it was realistically when they started the draft courts, the idea was it shouldn't be the individual trial court's job. The draft was going to come in. They were going to show pilot how being paid by the state and not by individual courts was better. And, you know, now you can't get on draft, and the attorneys don't want you to get on draft. So that wasn't the answer either.
Okay. Any other comments on this proposed BCP of court-appointed dependency? I guess I'm struggling with numbers, and I don't know if we need to get down that far, but we've thrown numbers around like $22 million and $80 million. I guess candidly and maybe oversimplistically, I'm concerned that if there's a BCP for $80 million, it swallows everything else that's proposed. Not that it's not legitimate, but if we throw $80 million on the table.
I think what we do is we carry this as an issue and talk about the funding options with the branch budget committee, so that they can understand the scope of all of our requests as a way to, you know, John's comments I think are important. And so it can be from one number to another number, and what are the risks that would be evaluated in the overall need as we go forward.
Good approach.
I agree.
Thoughts on any more thoughts on court-appointed dependency counsel? All right, I've waited, I've paused. I see no hands. So now, Sherry, you're on with us, right? Sherry?
I am so sorry. I got called away for a moment. Judge Conklin, could you repeat that question? I apologize.
All I was confirming was where we finished court-appointed dependency, and you had some thoughts about, and I just kind of want to come back to that to focus our discussion about 3, 4, and 5 being discussed as a overall concept.
I actually think 3, 4, 5, and really 6 are kind of all the same thing that we need more new ongoing discretionary funding that could be used for operations, trial court employee compensation, and then it's a branch decision whether or not we allocate it under WAFM or not. And so I think 3 and 4 are somewhat irrelevant to the discussion because that's a branch decision on how we reallocate it. And I am in agreement that when we start talking about reallocation, there should probably be some money carved out of WAFM for cost increases. And so it's not that I'm opposed. I just wanted to say that directly. I just don't see that as being part of the BCP.
This is John Wardlaw. The RAS WAFM model has been sold within the administration as the means in which we use to allocate the dollars out and as a workload measurement tool. And so I don't think there's much opportunities for us to not have the RAS WAFM conversation with finance when you're talking about a structural budget need. I see no traction with finance. Since we've already gone out, we sold it as a model, they will quickly pivot into how does this tie into the WAFM model.
So, John, let me just clarify my point, and then I'll put you back on mute. I support WAFM 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I see two different pieces of new money, and maybe that's why this is separated. I do think those courts, I think that there are ongoing cost increases that need to be addressed in all 58 counties. I also believe that we need to allocate operational money based on workload. So I am not opposed to recognizing the need for all courts to get some money outside of WAFM to address cost increases because especially if you haven't had any new money over a year or two, it makes it very hard because now you're eating into yourself to cover those cost increases. So maybe that is the reason that we need to separate them.
So there's been a discussion, I'm trying to focus this a little bit, between workload funding versus cost of doing business revenue funding. And is that what you're saying, Sherry, is those, there's the WAFM, there's the workload, and then there's, as you said, the 58 counties and their cost of doing business outside of that workload?
Judge Conklin, would you say that again, please?
Sure. I'm just trying to paraphrase back for our discussion purposes to focus a little bit. As I understand what you're saying is There's workload funding, WAFM, and RAS. And then there's also the cost of doing business revenue, cost of doing business funding for the individual counties outside of workload costs.
Yes, I'm trying to, I'm not apparently articulating it very well. I guess what I'm saying is that exactly what you said, that WAFM should feed our workload, and it measures our workload, but we do have cost increases, whether they're vendors, other kinds of contracts, employee costs, or whatever, that are not necessarily tied into our workload. And so it seems to me that that could be a reason that these were separated out. I thought it was because it was the perspective of the courts that submitted it that separated them. And I guess based on John's comment, maybe there is a reason to address them separately. I was hoping to put them together and then having the branch talk about we're going to carve off, you know, a certain amount of money that goes to all courts for their unfunded cost increases, and the rest would go under WAFM. That's all I'm saying is that I lumped them all together until I heard what John said.
So this is Rebecca. Just a comment on that. So I think that, and this may speak to some of what John's trying to say too, but also with Sherry, just a reminder that WAFM still had some discussions that had not been addressed. So like cost increases, and there are several items that did not get incorporated into WAFM at that time. And so it may be as we move forward and we have budget change proposals that look like they may open up this can of worms called WAFM, we may need to articulate the fact that WAFM did not address certain things intentionally and punch that out so that can be explained.
And this is John again. I think it makes sense to have one comprehensive kind of base minimal cost of running our business. That makes sense. What I was trying to articulate is that to frame it from the perspective of WAFM is kind of our business on how we distribute the dollars, from the administration's perspective, it's broader than that, and it would definitely be a part of a conversation relative to how we are assessing workload and the costs associated with doing that workload. So to the extent that we're asking for more, you can't avoid the WAFM discussion. From a strategy standpoint, though, I think one package that comprehensively addresses the structural issue makes sense. I also think as a parallel, from a strategy standpoint, it's rare that I see the administration making broad structural budget changes without some level of zero-base activity where they're going in and they're looking at and confirming the need that the entity is saying is real. So I would encourage us to give some thought to inviting finance over for a detailed look at both WAFM and the court's actual workload practices, because there are varying practices out there on how courts handle work. They're going to go down that hole. The best time to do that is during the summer months when, after the budget for this next year is passed, finance typically has some breathing room where they have time to do deep dive reviews. That would be the time to get them engaged, because as we're going into the next fall budget development, you want these folks really understanding the innards of our business. And so that would be my recommendation from a structural standpoint. Finance generally does not support broad structural large asks without some kind of a workload analysis behind it.
So, Judge Conklin, if I could. This is Jake.
You bet. Sorry. That's Jake.
So I guess I, John, this is somewhat difficult, and I know this is one of your first meetings, but when some of these comments are being made, it is a little difficult not to feel frustrated in that we've had these conversations before, and in the event Department of Finance, I would be happy to meet with them anytime, and I'm sure others would too, to explain the RAS model and the WAFM model, which I've heard some describe in our branch as one of the only zero-based budgeting models that is used year after year in the state of California. So that invite is out there, and I think there has never been a situation where we did not invite them to come in and understand to the extent that they would like to how WAFM is used and how it's used to calculate workload. But that said, and moving on from that, I think maybe to the point on numbers 3 through 5, what we could do is have it be one item that has two subcomponents. So maybe a 2A and a 2B, or a 3A and a 3B, where 3A is defined, as I think Sherry said, would be funding to address inflationary cost increases, which could be, as a narrative, discussed that this is money that helps ensure that we don't degrade existing services. And then a second line, you know, 3B, which would be to increase the percent funding under WAFM, which would represent program expansion for the courts, and then determine what amount goes into each of those numbers as the BCP process continues.
Sherry, what's your thought on that? And Jake, would I be so bold as to say, is that a motion?
Well, if you want as motions now, that's fine. I mean, I'm
just trying to come up with a list for us when we finally decide to.
That's fine. Yes, I would consider that to be my motion to combine 3, 4, and 5 as a 3A and 3B.
Okay. So maybe motion was too strong a word. I'm just trying to come up with a concept. And as I understand it now, it would be 3, 4, and 5 being 3A, inflationary cost increases to maintain services, and B being percent funding under WAFM increase.
This is Tanya, and since he's made the motion, I will second the motion.
Okay. So I'll show that as pending in the sense of now, as I've been keeping notes, and I don't want to stifle any discussion as we move off of table one, but keeping notes now on table one and the BCP concepts, we've essentially morphed them into three concepts, one being civil assessment, revenue, and MOE buyout, two being court-appointed dependency counsel as stated, and three being inflationary cost increases to maintain services, as well as percent funding under WAFM for continued operations. So that's the three BCPs that I've shown after our discussion that we've centered on from table one. Is that comments on that, or do folks feel that those are appropriately described?
Yeah, this is Mike Lane. I'm comfortable with the
that's
way that
going to be the next question. Okay.
Those are laid out.
So then the next question becomes, and I would look to John and Dzlatko on this and others, from a BCP perspective, do we prioritize or not?
At this point, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I concur. I think that having these as the three priority items is good, and then other bodies will also look at it in relationship to others and then do the prioritization.
Okay. So, again, these are just general concepts. We have some time before this actually goes to Judicial Branch Budget Committee, and that time will include further meetings of this advisory committee as we refine those with staff's assistance. So what I want to do is make sure we have plenty of time because, again, there were other courts, and just as a reminder, this is the result of the survey. So everybody, we have 11 other BCP concepts that I want to give folks a chance to talk about so nobody thinks, well, what about my concept? We've already, I guess, to move things along, I've incorporated 11, the maintenance of effort buyout, into what we've described now as the civil assessment MOE buyout. But for any courts that had comments or suggestions concerning Table 2, I'll just work down the list as well to make sure everybody has a chance. If you voted for this or suggested this, if you want to be heard, you can be heard. The first on Table 2 would be case management system enhancements. I don't know if part of this would go through the technology.
Yeah, I mean, part of the aspect is if there's cross-cutting issues, we definitely get input from the other. And JCTC has always been a great partner in us working together and sort of lobbying issues across each other and then making sure that we're in lockstep
with what the approach is, because we definitely want to make sure that whatever we're doing from a technology standpoint is consistent with our strategic plan and where we're going otherwise.
So one thought would be I'd be happy to contact Justice Slough just to get the message across that if, in fact, we do not include this at this point on the defined list of BCP concepts, the message should not be interpreted that we don't think it's important, but rather it goes through technology.
As a reminder, last year what this body did was sort of effectively create a placeholder for technology and identified it as a need and a desire, and then deferred to the JCTC to identify those issues that were determined to be of highest priority from their vantage point as an advisory committee and an internal committee.
Any thoughts on that approach? Again, recognizing it's critically important, but we would say to JCTC, I think as Lotko phrased it, it's a placeholder, but we're going to punt that placeholder, so to speak, to you for presentation.
Judge Connell, yeah. We've had some early success. I mean, two consecutive years in a row with BCP, with funding for technology projects. So go for three.
The second year stays in the budget. Make sure that happens and be supportive of that. That is good. Working hard to keep it there.
So is your thought, Mike, that we include this or that we encourage JCTC to...
No, I'm saying like the approach that we've taken in the past couple of years is to just set a placeholder aside and let the, leave it up to JCTC to prioritize of all the technology requests. They're in a much better position, I think, than we certainly are.
Very good. Any more comment on this one? Next is construction of new facilities. I don't mean to be pessimistic, but I'm not sure where... there's any funds for this at all anywhere, any hope of if this is something for us?
Obviously, Justice Hill and his committee have been working tremendously with all the impacted courts that are lacking the funding to move forward. So I think this might be an issue of those limited membership support and identification. But if it's a matter of picking up the phone and letting Justice Hill know that there's been the discussion here, but I don't think it didn't take the same place as IT last year in terms of a placeholder. It was an identified need, but the facility committee looking at that issue, which is in process.
Okay, so I know none of you have come to the beautiful metropolis of Fresno recently, but I can see Justice Hill's office from my office, so I'll just communicate with him, let him know we have this discussion. And again, sort of in the same tone or message to Justice Slough, we think it's critically important, but let him know that we're going to sort of punt it to them.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just say that, this is a structural problem, ICNIS and structural deficit, and funds other things besides construction. So just some way to boost that fund is, I think, important to both on not just building facilities, but also building maintenance, because... Again, we have a lot of facilities that are simply unsafe at this point.
Yeah. Judge Heiberger, in terms of item number 7 as well. So I think we'd take that approach about working with them as well.
Sam, did you want to be heard?
Just a question probably for Zlatko. As I understand, we're collecting funds now that are designated to courthouse construction.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to that money?
It's paying for the debt service on previously approved and constructed. The problem is the lack of us being able to engage in new construction that would then create bonded indebtedness that we do not have the revenues. We're supposed to have $275 million, and the most recent number was 215 was the annual revenue. And so even with an amnesty bump back to the 210 or 220 range, it's not sufficient to fund the debt service. When you reflect the fact that there's been money that is currently redirected, $50 million from the ICNA to truck road operations, $60-plus million to fund the Long Beach facility payment. So we are collecting. Some of this not even staying with us in that program. It's moved out.
Okay, anybody want to be heard on number 2, the construction of new facilities? Number 3 is data security. I sort of lumped that in with technology in general. So I take the same approach. Number 4, employee benefit cost increases. I think I don't want to, again, I'm just trying to be efficient, but I'm not trying to cut off discussion, but it appears to me we've already discussed that generally above in those concepts. Sherry, did you have any specific thought on this one? You had earlier. Table number two, item
got
four.
Well, only in the sense that, to me, it is, again, somewhat related to 2, 3, 4, 5, and I kind of lumped them together because, yeah, so I don't have any additional comments really on anything on table 2. We've already talked about 11, and I thought 4 kind of wrapped in with the other ones we addressed a little
Great,
bit.
Great, Sam. That's what I thought. I appreciate that. Sherry, Sam, did you want to be heard? Okay. Number 5, funding for new mandates. That's an interesting one, obviously, in the struggle. So when I interpret this to be new mandates, Prop 47, Prop 64, Prop fill in the blank, more work that we are required to do that are unfunded. Thoughts? Sam?
Well, I think this item would certainly underscore the impact of actions taken legislatively, either by proposition or by statute. I mean, I know that there's, other reports that are given to certainly the legislature that lets them know the estimated fiscal impact of a proposal. But this is kind of looking at it in the rearview mirror. Okay, it's law now, and this is how much it's costing. And I think we could get that data pretty readily, it would seem, and let the legislature know that here's the cost of it.
And go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just kind of, and those of you on the call in the room that are on RAS, I think this is something that we're trying to get our hands around through the RAS process, because we found that there's been, while there has been a flattening or a decrease in filings, the last RAS study indicates more an increase in workload. And we think that's tied exactly to these things. So we're doing this, we're working with the team on working with us on RAS or kind of going to that second level analysis to see if we can really kind of pinpoint where these new unfunded mandates, the AB 2839 and all that, where they're actually manifesting themselves so that we can so we can really tie that to the workload. So I would suggest that work is going on as part of the RAS study. And hopefully in the next few months we'll have more information on that that we'll be able to, I think, inform us on.
Okay.
This point. And I don't know if there's others on the call that, on the RAS group that agree or disagree on that.
This is like, I just said, say that this speaks to the structural budget and another basis for why it's important. It's, again, another compelling argument we would hope to make that, identifying the new mandates unfunded and how stable funding and appropriate funding allows us to meet the workload that you've put upon us.
That's a part of the broader structural issue.
That we're up above from the mm-hmm. We've already discussed up above.
Yeah, I think
right.
A and B have turned into A, B, C, and D when you think about inflation, WAFM, benefit funding, mandates. They all are doing your jobs.
So obviously where we're going on this is we're developing these concepts that I'm going to ask that and we're not finished with the discussion yet, but just so you folks understand where I think this is taking us is we're going to come down to about 3 of these, and we're going to look for further definition based upon this discussion from staff, and we'll have further meetings, probably telephonic rather than in the room, from this committee about the actual language we use once we get down to those 3, for lack of a better description at this point, BCPs. Local support for e-services infrastructure, I think that relates
technology.
To, yep, technology, maintenance of existing
I'm sorry, this is Rebecca. Can I ask, is that an e-filing structure? Is that what that is? And maybe it's in here and I didn't see it. I apologize if that's the case. But e-services, I just wanted to understand what that's referencing primarily.
I defer to Brandy on that characterization.
Yeah, and as I'm going through, I'll have to remind myself as well, but the survey response was a bit broad as well, so we kind of lumped it as e-services.
Yeah.
So I would invite people to maybe bring in some additional ideas if e-filing
I'll read the descriptions. BCPs have been submitted to support development of centralized e-filing manager. Local courts will need technical staff to develop local e-filing connections and manage the ongoing technical components of e-filing, e-service, and other digital expansion.
Mike? Okay, so the establishment of the support behind e-filing primarily with any kind of perhaps tangent type of arm to that, would that be fair?
Yeah, and again, I think it's a JCTC review issue.
Okay,
yeah, my understanding is it's on the ITAC tactical plan. This is one of those broad areas within the ITAC tactical plan that's about ready to be adopted if it hasn't already by the council.
Right.
So it's already included in there.
Along with data security. Data security is on. We're on that ITAC work stream for data security, so that's bolted into.
So as an aside, and this is an aside, so I'm just going to take 2 minutes. So I don't think we should lose the message that we can send to the Department of Finance and to the governor and others about how efficient we've become because of this. So I think there is a time, and I know it's not related, but I guess I'm just saying this, but e-filing is tremendously effective in increasing services to our constituents, both our justice partners, so to speak, and the public in general. For instance, I know many courts now have turned to many counties have utilized their law enforcement agencies to turn to e-tickets. So now when you get a traffic ticket, not that you want to get a ticket, but now it's electronically filed. There's no more paperwork from the law enforcement agency or the court, and the consumer gets an email saying, here's your ticket, and it's tremendously effective. So I think we need to also keep in mind how important it is to say we have been effective with our funds overall, and now I'm just preaching to the choir, but I think it's okay to preach to the choir every now and then. But
so
we'll go to JT. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So I would just advocate that we maintain some kind of a technology presence on the BCP list. And I like the idea of the e-filing because it is an efficiency moving forward, and it would seem that if it's already been evaluated by CTAC but perhaps isn't in their plan, the data may be readily available to back it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I think most of the case management vendors out there, the portal access is part of the package that they provide, as well as the infrastructure in terms of interfacing with the justice partners. But I think under the technology plan, there is our strategic plan, there is a thought of moving forward with a statewide single portal solution, so that even though courts have different case management systems, people from one end of the state to the other can use an e-filing structure or an e-data exchange. So,
got it.
Increasing access to justice.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You bet. We've already talked about 7 maintenance of existing facilities, 8 new judgeships. I think that was essentially there's new judgeships versus judgeship allocation. This is not judgeship allocation. This is new judgeships. go ahead.
And that's an important distinction because the governor has proposed reallocation of 4 judgeships among the courts. That proposal has been, I think, maybe besides Waffham, the most divisive issue I've seen in the branch. And if it happens, it'll happen only over great opposition within the branch. And so I'm skeptical about it happening at all. And the argument that, well, we'll reallocate instead of giving new judges does neither. I would hate to see, I'm disappointed to see that new judgeship issue is dropping off the list of budget change proposals. I think we ought to keep it on the list year after year after year, whether it's approved or not, to indicate that this is an ongoing issue. It is a structural issue. It's been ongoing since the 1990s. There has been some effort to address it, but not significantly. And I don't think it ought to drop off.
So when you're saying you don't think it ought to drop off, is it your suggestion that we include it as a 4th?
Yes.
Okay. Any thoughts on that? Any other discussion? Okay. I'm just taking notes. All right. Security equipment, physical. I think we've already discussed that generally, but I want to make sure whoever suggests that has a chance to be heard if you want any refinement on that. And then finally, self-help services. Okay, so what I'm trying to now sort of bring us back to the action item itself, and by my notes, and I'm going to open this up to discussion, and is that after this discussion, this committee has determined that the BCP concepts would be now four, based upon one proposed by Judge Cope, and that would be civil assessment, MOE buyout is one concept. Court-appointed dependency counsel is another concept. The third concept would be a joint concept of inflationary cost increases to maintain services, along with a percentage funding under WAFM for distribution. And that's essentially what's been described as a workload joint cost of doing business BCP. And then the fourth one would be and I don't mean to speak for you, Judge Cope, as you can do that very well for yourself, but this is a message we want to convey every year, that we are continue to be, and this is not reallocation, this is simply the number of judges, and we simply don't have enough judges. Yeah. And it may be a message that doesn't get filled every year, but that I don't think that necessarily means it's not a message that should not be delivered.
Right.
So, Mike Planet?
And that we recommend placeholders in the areas of technology and facilities. I know we talked about technology, but there's a number of these items on the table, too, that line up in the broadly put facilities area.
Sure. So placeholder items for technology and facilities.
And to be determined by the appropriate advisory committee or council committees.
Right. Okay, so one way to do this would be, voice?
Sorry. On those placeholders, this question is more to John and Zlatko. You had suggested that we reduce the number of BCPs. Will these placeholders water down our real ask? That's question one. My second question is, it seems like, and my memory could be wrong, but it seems like the governor has been eliminating facility-related type funds for the UC campuses and a bunch of other areas. So, again, with us putting placeholders and then try to feed those numbers in later, how is that going to impact our real, the real ask?
Well, in terms of facilities and deferred maintenance, the budget included, $45 million for us to deal with our shortfalls. So there's, on a one-time basis, there's been some recognition of the need. But it's always a struggle between operations and facilities, either be building or maintaining, as we all know. In terms of the, I think I would wait and see the discussion of the branch budget committee about how they see in the scope of all the needs. Again, we have other committees that will be looking at issues and whether, what will be brought forward from them for the branch budget committee to consider. And so definitely the input of this committee and the concerns that you just expressed about watering down the priorities will definitely be brought to them in their discussion. So I would say is I don't want to speak to what their strategy is. Is there, the nine members of the council doing their work? But I think bringing forward your concerns and thoughts are what we're obligated to do so that they have the full understanding of the discussion.
Okay, so to move us along, here's what I'm going to suggest, and I think I can do this as a chair. I'll make a motion that we adopt those four BCP concepts, that they be referred back to staff for refinement based upon discussion today, and those four BCP concepts be, as I've just described, that we would then have a meeting prior to this going to Judicial Branch Budget Committee to refine each of those concepts, if not reduce them. And then, again, I remind everybody, this isn't going to the council. This goes to Judicial Branch Budget Committee. They're the ones that make the recommendations of BCPs to the council.
Does that include the two placeholders as well?
Yes.
Second.
All right, so there's a second from Mike Planet Any further discussion on any of this? Do people have a again, it's just a little cumbersome today when we're not all in the same room, so I want to make sure if anybody has any concerns about these concepts, about how this is being presented, that we take the time to discuss that right now. All right. Well, I haven't heard any follow-up from that, so I'm going to ask that Brandy take a roll call vote on the motion that's been made and seconded.
Okay. As I go through the list, I know there are quite a few people who aren't here, and there are some proxy votes, so I'll ask those who are covering for others to, if you can, include your vote when I call the absent member's name. Judge Conklin?
Approve.
Judge Barton?
Approve.
Judge Blum?
Approve.
Judge Earl?
Approve.
Judge Cope?
Approve.
Judge Herman?
Aye.
Judge Heinrichs?
Approve.
Judge Johnson?
Aye.
Judge Kaufman?
Approve.
Judge Cole? Judge Marigonda?
Approve.
Judge McCabe?
Approve.
Judge Sanders?
David Yamasaki, on with her proxy, I approve.
Thank you. Ms. Carter?
Approve, and I have the proxy for Judge Kuhl.
Thank you. And Mr. Chatters?
Approve.
Ms. Fleming?
Approve.
Mr. Hamrick?
Approve.
Mr. Harrigan?
Approved.
Mr. Lewis? Mr. Planet?
Aye.
Mr. Roddy?
Approve.
Ms. Romero-Souls?
Approve.
Mr. Taylor? Ms. Ugrin Capobianco?
Approve.
And Mr. Yamasaki?
Approve.
Thank you.
Okay, so I show the motion's been unanimously approved. Thank you all for that. In the interest of recognizing everybody's travel arrangements, we did have an educational session scheduled at the end of this in a closed session. I'm going to defer that to our next meeting. It's getting close to 1:30, and the folks that are in the room are trying to get to an airport so they can get home before tomorrow morning, given the storms that have come in. So let me just, as a moment, take a moment as chair and thank everybody. I participated in phone call meetings before, and they're not this productive. And I had concerns as I was driving in today from Fresno that with a phone call meeting, this meeting was going to last half an hour and be over, and it wasn't. And it perhaps having everybody in the room, we could have had more face-to-face, so to speak, but I appreciate the time those of you on the phone took to hang in there for close to 4 hours, and those of you that made the trip into the room likewise. So I continue to be impressed with the participation of this committee. I think that speaks well for the branch as a whole and trial courts in particular regarding budget concerns. Aha. See how important that message was? Or somebody just put us on hold. That's right. Talk about a humbling effect. Anyway, good night. Thanks, everybody. I don't know what else to say. We're adjourned.
Bye.
Thank you.
Everybody. New music and everything. Yeah.
Travel safe, everybody.
All right, Mike.
And you can hang up your phones now.
Yeah, I'm going to open. Good luck, Jim. Hope you get home tonight.
You too, all right? Did we need to talk about
this? Thank you. You as well.
Oh.
I hope that the... Yeah.
All right, so we off.
Good luck, Greg.
Thanks for everybody that's going back. Appreciate it very much. Have safe travels.
Yeah.
Just when I thought I was going to
do that.
That sounds
kind
of funny.
Let's hope the brakes work on this.
So I'm not sure we get judges. We don't need those. Yeah, it was getting out of
that. I appreciated this.
Oh, no, well,
the work that staff does on this, and your comments were.
Yeah,
I know.
Especially when they're in the summer when the wind's coming.
Right.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was flying down last week.
I cannot agree
week,
more. We should not be in charge of dependency counseling.
And I got lucky because I'd actually come down the night before in Ontario.
And I don't know how to end up, you know, the conversation.
We were having a Santa Ana event last week.
No.
And all of those arrivals in Ontario were getting diverted as well.
Yeah, because
and
not that we're not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I remember even the
I know y'all in the
right, right. It was crazy. It was crazy.
I see a real ethical problem with it myself, where the attorneys, in essence, are working for me. And you can tell with the attorneys when I was in Geelong, they know that their funding comes from me, not directly, but it's just not a good way to do it.
No, I think, I think that it's, I don't care if, if it could be run by the branch, some kind of division, things, but I think
what even more
open that they defender,
or even a county. If they got a DA's office, they got a public defender. Why couldn't they have the contract for it? County council, that's right. Why couldn't they have that contract?
So thanks for the email tweet. All right, good to see you.
You're traveling from emails.
We alone saw an 8% drop.
See, guys,
you guys are going to be
in touch.
You
too.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Kevin, tell him to pick it up.
You know, the thing is, it's like we give 24-hour access to people to our law library. And it's like, why do we do that? It used to be when small attorneys couldn't afford books, but it's like, anyway.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So I did do the 5 years and 8% breath, and I know it's probably
lower. It'll be lower.
But if the 5 years.
All right, see you guys.
They're
so bad. Don't call me, I'll call you.
Okay.
If we're doing basically an abstract, though.
Right.
It is dropping.
Good meeting, Judge Johnson.
I'm with you.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. When you get out of here, are you going to have a flight out? Or?
We'll see.
For us,
at
the airport?
That's right. Yeah. Going to Urban. Going to Oakland.
Oh, okay. Good.
San Francisco is always.
Yeah, that's what Jim was saying. I don't know. I think tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
All right, thanks. Good meeting.
Good
meeting.
Trouble taking. You know, I remember that. He's always a little amorphous, but I think we're going to sort of even focus a little bit more for our next meeting. We've got a good product here to work with.
Well, this is kind of the first time we've gone to
Right.
That's what I was
thinking.
It would have to be a higher
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see you next time.
All right, travel safe.
Well, actually, we'll get back.
We'll get back.
I think so. I do think so. BCP.
Randy's taking notes, too.
Yeah.
So is Blanco.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm happy to do with you.
We can have a long meeting. I've got my
Well, that's the question, though. Whether I have what we need to go forward. What are you doing now? I think for the BCP
conference,
what
work
that
requires of the law. Oh, yes, because you're definitely going to be involved, ultimately. Yeah, I didn't know. Right, right. So that's why I wasn't as concerned about that.
Ultimately, after we
learned the final
law,
did they have a hearing? Did they have
a meeting?
Did they
have a meeting? And I can go back, and what I'll do is I'll just
ask the timeline.
And everything that they have.
If they have a meeting, then I want to go present. Okay. I don't want this to be reports and anything.
Right, right. No, I'll take a look and I'll follow up with you to let you know. And then at some point, we need to.
Because of funding issues or because of person?
The SBO chair, FMS co-chair. We need to start to get them on the phone. So I'm hoping that we can start to get them. Ms. Dan will be part of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it's just, it's a little bit more than everything.
I haven't given to my team.
We came up with a product
in the DOF. I would say I'd be like,
I'm going to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Learning stuff.
And do you think we're made of money?
Right.
Thank you very much.
It's always nice.
But,
we'll never have a very convincing argument.
In a hotel and not having spent, literally 17 and a half hours.
Thanks very much.
How we make I can imagine.
Because the longest person I know, their longest meeting is an hour and 45 minutes.
I appreciate it. We'll be cutting this. Yeah, so you're right. That's how we
You don't work out this.
Okay. We did that before. Right. Or at least the identifying the infrastructure. Okay.
I was on your page too, but then I thought, well, maybe I'll make sure. But that's kind of what.
It's Grenville
number.
I know that one had fallen off a window.
We should have the dick back recording, right? Oh, absolutely. Okay, I'll be in touch with you. We're going to, we were setting a staff hall.
But you know what, I guess at the end of the day, people can't say they weren't heard and they didn't have a chance.
I don't know how many times I said, hey, if you want to be heard, let's be heard.
So, I would hate to do this. Everybody did do something to do for Daniel. Daniel, the existing voices, everything on the meeting. Yep. We had 23 that we, I think we were, you know what I mean? I think we had, as far as people in the meeting. I think almost every committee member was on the line. So everybody was there, but. The actual active participation.
Well, I know, we've talked about this. Can you tell? Yes. That's for you, Steve. Let me dump this over. I'm going to grab something. Amanda's ready? Yeah, oh yeah. I'm going to grab something, and I'll be right back. Natalie? Oh, done. Take care. Thank you. You'll see you again. Yep, yep.
Travel safe.
I will. I should be home by 6:30. I'm looking forward to working with you soon. I would have said, I don't know if I had something to do that, or if it was the kind of, I just remember something. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know. I had something to do that. I don't know
went on for my life and I said, I have no idea how did I get bid. I'm
what crime did I commit?
I'll say, how did my name come to that country?
You know what? I know it's hard to
have a quality of life.
It is. Like, California is a good place in it by itself.
Oh, Natalie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
What's going on? What's your plan?
Yeah.
Which
I need to go upstairs quickly and meet Karen, and then I'll be ready to go.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.